This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ogalo of Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, for the Lord's Day, 8th August 2021, during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. We welcome you to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret. We are located within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street, behind Cogo Flats, Eldoret Town. I bring God's Word to you this morning. And I want to begin by giving you an illustration in this introduction. We are familiar with the phrase, "Children are the leaders of tomorrow." But children themselves, or generally speaking, the youth, feel frustrated because the older people are neither willing to relinquish positions for them, nor train them and prepare them for the future. And I believe you'd agree with me that this is unfortunate. It doesn't stop there, though. There are many young people, many children, who are reported to be abducted and murdered or ruined by drugs. Such are serious issues. But I present to you this morning that there is even a more serious issue, a higher level of serious issue here than these national disasters. In fact, the Lord Jesus challenges us to prepare our children for eternity. And yet, this is never taken seriously. I want us to look at the passage today and see the concern that the Lord Jesus has about preparing our children for eternity. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And I want us to read verses 13 to 15, just a few verses. Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. This is what we read. "Then children were brought to him," that is to Jesus, "that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and went away." Let us pray. Lord, our God, we pray with serious and sincere concern because we constantly hear of disturbing news in social media and in all other forms of communication. We hear of very disturbing news. Children who are murdered, abducted and murdered, or even aborted. We hear and read about children abandoned or influenced are left under drugs. Oh God, these things are painful and disturbing. Thank you that you are concerned. The passage before us shows us your genuine concern for children. Help us then to understand your word and to draw help for ourselves, how we may help our children and prepare them for eternity. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage we've read, Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15, and simply I'm calling it, Children Brought to Jesus, the Lessons for Us All. Bringing of these children to Jesus set before us lessons for us all. Now, as we approach this short passage, I plead with you that we do not lose sight of the connection between our last sermon on the sanctity of marriage and what we are seeing today about children. You see, marriage, we saw last Lord's Day, last week's preaching, we saw that marriage is God's business. But it's also very serious. It's God's business and it is serious, a serious matter. You see, it must not be entered into lightly. And that one must count the cost and be committed. And we must not react as the disciples of the Lord Jesus reacted in that passage. You see, the Lord Jesus responded to their reaction when they said, if that is what is demanded in marriage, then it's better off someone not getting married at all. And when the Lord Jesus heard that, then he responded. And simply in summary, he says, listen, unless you qualify to be under one of the three eunuch categories that we saw last week, God's intention for you is to get married and live godly with your spouse. And in God's good pleasure, if he gives you children, you should bring them up in the ways of the Lord. Today, we see children being brought to Jesus and great lessons and challenges that this brings to us. I have 2 points and then bringing a few areas of application at the end. And so simply, I want us to see in the first place that you must do nothing to hinder, but everything to bring children to the knowledge of the Lord. You must do nothing to hinder, but everything to bring children to the knowledge of the Lord. We read in verse 13, the first part of verse 13, we read this. They brought little children to him, that he may lay his hands on them and pray. Now, we are not told who the they are. They could well be parents or relatives or caregivers. We are not told who. But we ask, why bring them? Well, we are told that he may lay his hands on them, that he may touch them. But you see, this was not some superstitious touch. No. Jesus wouldn't agree to some notion, to some idea that he is going to offer some superstitious blessing? No. They knew Jesus was in favor with God and that he is able to pray and bring blessing upon their children. So that's important. But in the same verse, we go on and we see that the disciples rebuked the people. They rebuked the people, verse 13, part B of it. You see, maybe these disciples and the Lord Jesus were in a particular house. They were in the house, could well be. And think about it. What the disciples could be doing, it's like Jesus is in the house. They somehow are near the door, at the door, or they hear people talking outside, asking some access to Jesus, and so they walk out. But as they see people, how many there we don't know. But they see people, and these people asking, we want to see Jesus. We have brought our children to Jesus. But like some secretary in an office who says, sorry, the boss is busy. Or that the boss is out, he's not present, he's not in the office. When all along he's there reading newspaper or engaged in his own business and phone calls. These disciples are behaving just like that. They could well be reasoning in their own minds. Ah, these are just children being brought to waste our master's time. This must not be encouraged. And by the way, this is not the first time that the disciples were offended by people they consider as intruders. People they consider as popping up anyhow to seek Jesus' favor. You would remember in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew 15 verses 22 and 23, the passage where we read about the Canaanite woman. Let me just read those verses. Matthew 15, 22, we read this, and 23. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. I hope you see what is happening here. This woman is constantly crying after us. Send her away. She's a bother. Jesus, according to us, this woman must be resisted and prevented from bothering us. Please order it. Order her to go away. Well, did Jesus give in to their request or their demand? No. And let us see the response of Jesus in that situation by looking at the end result of the whole episode. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 of that chapter tells us of that verse. We learn this in Matthew 15, verse 18. Matthew 15, verse 28. Then Jesus answered her. So a conversation had gone on. Jesus for a while appeared to ignore her. And then when Jesus opened his mouth, spoke words that ordinarily would discourage a person. But she hung on. Finally, Jesus says this, verse 28. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Do you get that? Do you get that? Here is a situation where the disciples said, this is too much. We cannot breathe, as it were. Just, let's find a way of silencing this woman. Let's get rid of her. And Jesus said, no. She's crying out, and I want to listen to that cry. I want to draw out faith, genuine faith, out of that cry. And indeed, Jesus brought it out. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Well, therefore, Jesus responds to these disciples. In this case, Jesus tells his disciples in our passage now, Matthew 19, verse 14, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Come to me. Let them come. You must not wish them away or put any obstacle on their way. Bring them to me. And this was serious. In the parallel passage in Luke, the Lord Jesus, we are told, was indignant. The Lord Jesus was upset. He was angry at the disciples when they attempted to rebuke the people and to send them away. So he declares, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Well, and so really the point that we see, point number one, is that you must do nothing to hinder, but everything to bring children to the knowledge of the Lord. In the second place, from this passage, in the second place, you must feel your helplessness like a child if you'd enter the kingdom of heaven. You must feel your helplessness like a child if you'd enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, there in verse 14b, that is the second part of verse 14, we read this. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Jesus talks about the children and he says, to such, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And the parallel passage, which is very helpful in this case, Mark chapter 10 verse 15, we read similar words but expanded a little more. Truly, Jesus says in Mark 10:15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And so these two passages, two verses, are not different. Mark only expands and puts it in different words. I say to you truly, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now, and please listen to me, I beg you. This passage, or these two passages, and even the one in Luke, these passages do not teach automatic salvation of children. I hope you heard that. This verse and the related verses do not teach infant baptism or infant membership in a church. No. However, many Christian churches hang their doctrine of infant baptism on this passage. And you can read good commentaries, but when they come to this passage, the arguments they bring forth make you wonder, how come they can so seriously defend a teaching that is really not found here? Oh, friends, we need to be seriously observant here. So we see, honestly, there is no automatic salvation for children here, or teaching of infant baptism, as many churches find in this passage. However, we believe and stand on biblical truth that only believers are to be baptized. Only believers are to be baptized. Now, these believers may be adults or maybe children, but only believers are to be baptized. You see, the command we have is, go into all the world, make disciples. Make disciples. Then baptize them. Then teach them everything I have commanded you. Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 and following. So you know, I want to speak graciously here. We are not cruel when we don't baptize our babies. It is loving obedience to Christ. It is a concern for our children when we wait, patiently wait, till they come to the saving faith in Christ. And I know that many of you have questions about children, and what about baptism of children? What happens to children when they die? Yes, those questions are there, but please, we cannot squeeze those answers from this passage. So, when Jesus says in verse 14, let little children come, don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom. And as we have noted, Mark chapter 10 verse 15 telling us, truly you must turn and be like children, else you'll never enter God's kingdom. The question then is, why like children? Why? Why is that contrast and comparison? Why like children? Now listen, not because of some inherent goodness in children, because there is none. There's nothing inborn which is good, some goodness in the children that they are born with. No. The point of comparison is not innocence and humility of kids. No. Because they too, children also, are born in sin with corrupt hearts. Rather, The point of comparison is because children, listen to this, are helpless. Children are receptive. Children are content to be dependent on the care of others. That is, or those are the great qualities that the Lord Jesus would have us draw from the illustration of children. It is in such a spirit that the kingdom of God must be received. You see, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is a gift of God. This kingdom is a gift of God. Not of man's achievement. No. It is by grace through faith so that no one can boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, verse 9, and even verse 10. Do you know what? Many are not saved today because the way of salvation cuts against their expectation. It frustrates their frustration. That is why they are not saved. You see, salvation was accomplished on the cross. And when we say that, when we say salvation was accomplished on the cross, in fact, what we are talking about is that it was the death and resurrection of Jesus. The death and resurrection of Jesus. You see, the word of the cross is God's power to save. And that is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Why is this the way or the method of salvation? Why? The way of the cross. Why is it the method of salvation? You know what? It is to humble sinners. It is to humble sinners that they may turn and be like children. You know, if we read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, we read this. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly or foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. And so I ask, have you been brought to such a position? Have you? You see, Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11 verse 25 tells us, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Human wisdom and understanding do not lead to salvation. No. So, you must abandon your feeling of independence and have a real sense of need. Feel your need of Him. Now that is humbling. And you know, that is what the children possess, and which we and everyone else must possess, must demonstrate a humility, a sense of dependence upon another, in this case, upon the Lord Jesus. And our passage ends in verse 15 by telling us, "And he laid his hands on them." And the parallel passage puts it this way: having taken them, them on his arms, he blessed them and went away. It's a short passage, but it's a passage that has great truths. So, what do we learn? What is it that I would wish to let you carry home from this passage? What is it that if you forget other things, you should really draw from this passage? Let me give you a few areas here of thought. One, I'm talking to parents. All who are parents and those who will be parents in the days to come, please listen. Let us not put any hindrances on the way of our children in spiritual matters. Yes, let us not put any hindrances on the way of our children in spiritual matters. In other words, very practically, don't give them work on the Lord's Day. Don't give them work on a Sunday to make them miss going to church and worshiping the Lord. Don't do that. More specifically, think of areas like giving them washing to do, whether of clothes or whatever. Giving them washing to do, sending them to the market, leaving them to guard the home when you are gone, giving them the responsibility of babysitting when you are gone, or taking them now yourself for outing instead of church. Don't put any hindrances on your children's way on spiritual matters. Positively, though, do everything to bring them to Christ. Bring them to the Word. Read the Bible. And sing hymns with them. Bring them to church. Later, ask them what they learned at church. It doesn't stop there, you know what? Come and join the church. And as we meet on Wednesdays for corporate prayer meeting, come and join the church and let's plead with God to save our children. Let me ask you, does your heart condemn you? Even now, as I raise these areas, possible areas of hindrances, does your heart condemn you that you have hindered your child from coming to Christ? If that is the case, then repent. Repent. Ask God to have mercy and to forgive you. But I speak on now. There are those who have the responsibility, and we thank God for that, the responsibility teaching Sunday school. And I'm thinking more of Sunday school, not of adults, because Sunday school is both for adults and children. I'm thinking of the children now, the children's Sunday school classes. And I say this to you, dear teachers of Sunday school, do nothing to hinder these in your spiritual care. Do nothing to hinder them. Positively, faithfully teach a full counsel of God. Yes, you may say, oh, but they are so young. Oh, faithfully teach the full counsel of God. And avoid the danger of leading them to make decisions for Christ, so-called. Avoid that. That's dangerous. Because that so often leads to deception. It is very easy to lead a child to make a decision for Christ. Very easy. Instead, what you must do and do faithfully, give them balanced teaching. Balanced teaching of God's word. So teach them about God and about Christ, about sin, about judgment, about repentance, about faith. Teach them these truths. Sing with them balanced truth, songs which bear balanced truth, not just some repeated choruses, no, but teach them balanced truth in songs. That is a word for Sunday school teachers. But I also must say something to you, dear young people. And that I am talking to a wider group as young people. Honestly, you are precious. You are precious to the Lord Jesus. And this passage is about you. You know what? Christ invites you to come to Him now while you are tender in age. He invites you. This is a great opportunity, a special welcome. Let the children come to me. Don't hinder them. The Lord gives you that invitation. Now, don't reject His call by playing and engaging yourself on the internet instead of listening to the preaching of God's word. Don't fall asleep during preaching. Be attentive. In fact, have a Bible in your hand. And if having a soft copy on your mobile leads you to temptation to switch off to other things, get a hard copy, as it were, a Bible, a printed Bible. Look at that. Read it. Turn to passages that are being taught. It's the Lord Jesus who invites you. And listen, you are not too young. You are not. And I speak to some of you. You know what? Children as young as 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, hear the word of God, get convicted of their sin, and they are saved. Come to Christ. And dear young people, later this month, we do have a youth conference in our own church here at Grace Baptist Church. Please, talk to us about it. Talk to your parents about it and plan to come, that you may be taught very relevant truths from God's word. Christ invites you. He has love for you, truly expressed in this passage. I hurry on, and I now, in the final place, speak a few words to all of us. To all of us. And I ask that we pray for ministry among children. That teachers may be used of God to bring children to the saving knowledge of the Lord. You see, this passage is a great challenge, that we must turn and be like children, show helplessness and dependence if we would be saved. Have you turned? Have you turned to be like a child, showing your helplessness? Please stand while it is called today. And I speak to you, dear children, and to adults equally. My last word, the last area of application. This passage sends a sharp warning to anyone and everyone who would be engaged in abortion or murder of infants. Now you ask, how this verse does not talk, or this passage doesn't talk about murder, about abortion? Where do you get abortion from here? Why charge the whole matter of abortion? Why bring it in here? I will show. You see, if we are not to hinder any child, but to do everything to bring them to Jesus, then those who are involved in abortion, those who are involved in infant murder, are hindering those who should be nursed and brought up in the ways of God, to the end that they may be saved and enter heaven. Yes, that is why this passage squarely teaches us against abortion. So once again, does this passage find you guilty of hindering a child in whatever way now? Whether indeed you have been guilty of abortion, whether actively involved in it, or encouraging someone to carry an abortion, or nothing to do with abortion, but you have lived a careless life, you have not concerned yourself with the spiritual well-being of your child, you have engaged your child in other activities, or you have neglected bringing your child close to the Word of God, instead diverting your child's spiritual energy to other things. If your heart smites you, if you find yourself guilty in any of these areas, then my friend, repent. Repent. turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Because I see that I have failed to bring children to you. But they may enter your kingdom. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ came for sinners. And you will be forgiven. Turn to Him. Seek Him. Repent of your sin. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you. You have shown us that you love children. Not just adults, as the disciples would have thought, but you love children also. And you want them to know your ways. You want them also, to come to the saving knowledge and find life in Christ and be members of your kingdom. And what lesson, great lessons we learn also. And so, Lord, bless these words. Bless these words. Cause us, each one of us, to search our own souls and where we have sinned, where we have failed to point our children to you. Lord, work, work, we pray. Forgiveness. And bring good from your word. Bring salvation to those who are not saved, adults and children alike. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.